Good evening. I'll call to order the Astoria City Council meeting of Monday, April 17th, 2017. Welcome, everyone. Chief Johnston, roll call, please.
Counselor Jones.
Here.
Counselor Nebula.
Here.
Counselor Bronson.
Here.
Counselor Price.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. Thank you. Reports of counselors. Let's see. Let's start with Counselor Nimloel this time.
None from me, thanks.
Okay. Counselor Bronson.
Sure. Just briefly, I went and attended the Advance Astoria gathering at the Hampton the other day, and it was pretty well attended. And what I appreciated out of it was the appreciation that our community was given by the panelists for actually making this endeavor and really trying to figure out what we can do to improve our economic interests here in this town. And other than that, just want to invite everybody, and particularly those in my ward, to a Meet the Counselor event this Thursday at Three Cups of Coffee at 5:30 p.m. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Counselor Price.
I'll pass, thank you.
Mayor, I'll just echo Councilor Brownson's comments about Advance Astoria. I had the same impression. That was really nice to hear those folks from outside of our city commending the effort that we're making, saying it's not a common thing to be done throughout the state. And one last note, this Saturday, the 22nd, is United Way of Clatsop County's Day of Caring. They have opportunities for volunteers to help out with the United Way nonprofits throughout the county. And if you go to their website or the Facebook page for United Way of Clatsop County, you can see opportunities to volunteer and help our local nonprofits. Thanks.
Okay. This past week was kind of Parks Week. As you read in the Daily Astorian, we had the open house for plans for McClure and Shively Hall, and then we had a Parks Master Plan work session, two-hour work session on Wednesday morning. And we're trying our best to do what we can with the money that we have in our budget. So it's parks is something we don't really want to touch, but on the other hand, we have to remain within our budget. So I also attended the Advance Astoria and also the Suzanne Bonamici's town hall in Seaside, and excellent in Warrenton. It was excellent. There were about 200 people there and very enthusiastic crowd, and I think we're very lucky with the people we have representing us in Washington. That's the end of my report, and are there any changes to the agenda?
So there is one change to the agenda. Item 7C, and that is a public hearing regarding a vacation of a portion of an alley abutting 3115 Harrison. That item, at the advice of our city attorney, is being canceled. The public hearing is being canceled. There's some additional work that is needed to be completed on that item prior to it coming to you for consideration. So we will be rescheduling that public hearing when the work is complete. We will be sending new notice, and we have received written comments from a number of the residents in that neighborhood, and we will be taking that written information, and we'll be transmitting it to you when that item comes forward for consideration. And so that doesn't preclude anyone from adding anything as a part of the public hearing, but I just wanted to let those folks know who did submit written testimony that it won't go into just a file.
Okay, thank you. Any counselor want to remove any item from the consent calendar? Okay. The items on the consent calendar are considered routine, and we pass those under one motion unless someone removes one of the items. Since no one has asked that an item be removed, could we have a motion to approve?
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Roll call, please. Chief Ames?
Councilor Nimloel.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Jones.
Aye.
Councilor Brownstein.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The first item on our regular agenda is an ordinance and public hearing about concerning ADUs or accessory dwelling units.
So this is an item where the council held a public hearing on March 20th and continued it to your April 3rd meeting, and public testimony was received at both meetings. The hearing was closed at your last meeting and voted to hold a first reading of the ordinance. There's a summary of the proposed changes as a result of the direction included in your memorandum. Our community development director, Kevin Cronin, can just give a very brief overview of what was included in the modified ordinance. But tonight it's recommended that if council is in agreement, it be in order to hold a second reading of the ordinance and also adopt the ordinance.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Mayor, members of council. Just a really quick summary of the three things that I heard at our last council meeting. One is that you wanted to hear an evaluation of this ordinance a year from now, so we added that within the ordinance language itself. It's the last section. We also obviously had lots of discussion around homestay lodging, so there's a lengthy explanation in that inside your memo here. And then three, we had some discussion around non-conforming uses, so we've added a little bit of language in one of the sections in the non-conforming section. So that is bold in terms of the addition to the ordinance. So that's real briefly the only changes that we've heard from the council at the last meeting, and they're reflected in the ordinance and summarized in your memo. Are there any questions from council?
I do have one question, and it's just clarification for my understanding and maybe for the public's understanding too. This whole process has been about creating places for people to live, to rent long term. Mm-hmm. And it just occurred to me that if an individual, say I want to take my basement and I don't want to make an ADU, I don't want to make a rental space, but I want to make more of a mother-in-law apartment, I want to add a little kitchenette, etc. Does this apply to me? Is this an addition or remodel?
So there's a difference between you taking an unfinished basement and finishing it into a bonus room, which is different from an accessory dwelling, which means you actually have a kitchen facility in there. It's a separate living unit, but it's underneath the main dwelling. So the person living there is managing that unit, but it has a kitchen facility, it has a bedroom.
Right, and then, so when I come to apply for a permit, it's just a remodel is all I'm coming in for.
In terms of the building permits, we would have to take a look at how unfinished the basement was and what structural, electrical, plumbing, and sure. Other types of permits would be needed for it. And in terms of the zoning, we just do a quick zoning review to make sure it meets the standards that we're looking at tonight.
So maybe Councilor Brownson, I mean, if let's say, for instance, you had an unfinished basement and you wanted to have a rec room of sorts, and that rec room included a wet bar, if you want to put it as that. And so that would be different than if you were wanting to put a kitchen in there. So if you were going to be putting cooking mm-hmm. facilities in there, that would then trigger the accessory dwelling unit mm-hmm. review. Right. So it's really kind of the nuance in terms of what are you proposing?
That's why I wanted to be clear at. Even though my intention isn't to do what these changes are intended to do, it would still, as soon as I start putting in a kitchen and whatnot, it sort of triggers, it mm-hmm. becomes an accessory dwelling
that
unit.
That is correct.
Regardless of what I use it for. And if I never rent it out, then I don't need to get a business license, I don't have to do any of that. But if I rent it out, I need to get a business license. Would that be true or not? I'm kind of curious about that too.
So that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that because I haven't looked at the city code provisions in terms of the rental code. So I'd have to get back to you on that specific piece of that. Certainly homestay lodging, we consider it a business.
Sure.
There is a business license. But in terms of rentals, I don't know what the cutoff is in terms of the business license, whether it's one unit or more than three or what the cutoff is. So I'd have to look into that.
Right. Okay. because the
But to your point, Counselor, it's different than, it's much different having, as Brett mentioned, a bonus room or just an extra space in your basement versus an actually separate sure. dwelling unit. So that's the point where I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that's clear for me, mm-hmm. and just so when the question's asked, that that would be the case. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Could we have a motion for the second reading?
I move we hold the second reading.
Second.
All in favor.
Pardon?
All in favor. You'd call all in favor for the vote of the council.
Yeah, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
And let's see, do we need anything else?
And then
else?
You would just ask one of the staff to read the title
okay.
of the ordinance.
Okay. Ms. Brooks, you look ready.
An ordinance amending the Astoria Development Code Section 1.400 and Section 3.020 pertaining to Article 1, Definitions and Article 3, Accessory Dwelling Units.
And then we would just need a motion and a second and then roll call on approving the ordinance. And if the council were wanting to approve the ordinance, language would be state that I move that the city council adopt the findings and conclusions contained in the staff report and adopt the ordinance amending the Astoria Development Code. That language would be in order.
Okay. Someone want to make that motion?
I'll move that we adopt the language as yada yada and adopt the ordinance as just read.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call. Ms. Cosby.
Councilor Nemlowell?
Aye.
Aye.
Councilor Price?
I'm voting no, just to be consistent. I appreciate that there is now language that we will review this in a year, and given that there were, two at least permitted over the past 10 years, although there appear to be more, hopefully this, I still believe that that nearby residences should have some sort of notice of these sorts of construction permits. So I'm voting no.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor
Lamb? Aye. Okay, thank you. The it passes, and just to let you know, the City Council's ruling may be appealed by any person withstanding by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, within 21 days after the City Council has made its decision. If an appeal is not filed with LUBA within the 21-day period, the decision of the City Council shall be final. The next item is an ordinance regarding land use violations.
This ordinance, again, had a public hearing at your last meeting and the first reading was held. This ordinance is proposed to rectify violations to land use zoning and building issues within the community. It's recommended that council hold the second reading tonight and adopt the amendment to Astoria City Code Section 1.010.
Discussion or questions? Okay, could we have a motion then?
I move we hold a second reading and adopt the amendment to the City Code Section 1.010.
Okay, we need a roll call on that.
Well, you'd need to first need to have, and did we have a second?
Yes, we did.
And then we would just need to have a reading, and City Attorney, if there is one motion to hold the second reading and to approve the ordinance, can that be done with one motion? Okay, so if you want to ask someone to hold the second reading and then take the roll call vote.
Okay, let's see. Would you like to do that, Mr. Cook?
An ordinance revising Astoria City Code Section 1.010, penalties for land use and building violations.
And then we just need a roll call.
Okay, roll call, Mr. Pearson.
Councilor Nimlowell?
Aye.
Councilor Bronson?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor LaMire?
Aye. Thank you. As our city manager mentioned, the item C has been canceled, and a public hearing will be rescheduled with a revised notice to be issued. And this is the vacation of a portion of an alley. So the next item is the authorization to award the contract for Ridgeline Combo Harvest.
So a commercial timber thinning and what's referred to as a variable retention treatment of 52 acres of the Bear Creek watershed is planned for the summer of 2017. And this item was discussed at your March 20th meeting, and council authorized staff to solicit bids for the project. They also requested that a public meeting be scheduled to provide information on this proposed timber cut and also to discuss the timber cutting and water issues within our watershed. That meeting was held on March 29th. The calls to bid were advertised and bid packets were sent to 11 prospective purchasers, and the city received one responsive bid from Hampton Tree Farms as identified in the memorandum. I would note that there was a second bid received from Custom Excavating, which was considered non-responsive as they did not meet the minimum bid requirements as stated. The combo harvest as proposed should result in gross revenues of over $224,000 and net revenues after paying the required expenses, which would include road expenses, should provide an estimated $190,000 to be deposited into the capital improvement fund. We do have Mike Barnes, our city forester, here to answer any questions of the city council. And it's recommended tonight that the council award the Ridgeline Combo Harvest to Hampton Tree Farms.
Any discussion, questions? Okay, could we have a motion?
I move the council award the Ridgeline Combo Harvest to Hampton Tree Farms.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay. We closed the public hearing on that, didn't we?
It would be a mayor up to you, if you wanted to take any comment on this matter.
I don't know.
I just have one question.
Mr. Farrar, yeah.
Sorry to take your time.
Chris Farrar, 3023 Harrison Avenue, Astoria. I just wondered, was the Hampton bid the only one received, or?
So we received two bids. One was deemed non-responsive in that there were minimum bid amounts that were established to qualify. Oh. And so as they didn't meet that minimum bid requirement, it was immediately thrown out as a non-responsive bid. So two were submitted. One was within the threshold with Hampton Tree Farms. The other one was not.
So we got an okay deal, but maybe not a great deal.
I think that, Mike, do you want to speak to that?
Just for Chris's sake, I'm Mike Barnes. I'm the city forester residing in Newburgh, Oregon. Just a couple of things. Where we're located happens to be fairly close to a sawmill that's owned by Hampton. That puts Hampton at somewhat of a competitive advantage in a lot of circumstances. We send out to, and we advertise not only direct mail, but through a variety of ways, we send out to a number of potential purchasers. Hampton actually came in quite a bit higher than our minimum, so I was very satisfied, because I was a little fearful that perhaps they would just bid minimums, but no, they went over minimums. I consider it a very, very competitive, a very good bid, and Hampton is a very, very good company, and they'll do a good job in protecting the resource.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for all your work on this, too. Could any other discussion before we have a motion?
I think we did. Right. I think we got that one squared away.
Oh, that's
so
right. Yeah.
So we can move on to the next agenda item, if you'd like.
Okay, the next item is a resolution to transfer amounts within funds.
So the Oregon Revised Statutes provides guidance for the transfer of appropriations within a budgeted fund when authorized by a resolution by the governing body, in this case, the City Council. The item before you tonight deals with an issue with regards to capital leases. And capital leases are loan agreements for purchases of assets which have historically been accounted for in what's referred to as the capital outlay portion of our budgets. And they're presently identified within our current budget. During the fiscal year ending 2016 financial statement review, and based upon budget training that our finance department staff went through, it's come to our attention that capital lease payments should be accounted for within the same budget, within a different subsection, which is referred to as debt service classification. And so appropriations made within capital outlay need to be transferred to debt service to properly account for lease payments within, first of all, the capital improvement fund in the amount of $129,430, and within the public works improvement fund in the amount of $80,700. Our finance director, Susan Brooks, can help clarify this a little bit more, but it's taking the same dollar amounts that are in the budget and putting them under a different heading is what is being proposed to be able to comply with the current budget standards. So tonight it's recommended that council consider the resolution which transfers capital outlay appropriations to debt service appropriations within both the capital improvement and public works improvement funds.
I think this should make it a little easier to track these things for budget committee purposes who look at it once a year. Debt service is an easier question to ask. What debt are we servicing versus what capital are we outlaying? So, yeah, it makes sense.
You want to make a motion?
let's see. What is the motion to be made? Okay, I move that we approve resolution transferring amounts from capital outlay to debt service to appropriately recognize lease payments.
Second.
Okay, we need a roll call vote on that. So let's see. Ms. Brooks?
Councilor Nimmowell?
Aye.
Councilor Brownson?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor Romero?
Aye. Thank you. We have finished with our regular agenda, so we now have time for new business, public comments, any questions or comments that the public has. If you'd like to come up to the microphone and state your name and address.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Councilman, Councilors, wrong state. My name is Frank Spence. I live at 5169 Birch Street in Astoria. And I'm also a candidate for the Astoria Port Commission. I'm not here so much to promote myself, but to bring up the subject of economic development. I did attend last Thursday evening's meeting of your Advanced Astoria, and there were a number of points that came up that directly affect the port and the port's future relationship with the city. And one of the exhibits showed three overlapping circles, and one-third of that was partnership. The port, I believe, has failed in its partnership with the city of Astoria. And quoting, and the you're at the very end of it, and this is almost the final report. You're putting on the final touches. And your consultant named a couple major points affecting the port. And if I may quote just a few, the port of Astoria is a critical economic driver for Astoria and the region. The port's role in facilitating cruise ship visitation represents a new frontier in tourism and visitation that benefits all retailers. Furthermore, the long-term future of resource-related industries in the region is a challenge that the port, along with the city, as a partner, will need to work with. Before the meeting Thursday, the cruise hosts had their kickoff meeting. And since you were not able, most of you, I didn't see any of you there, but Bruce Connor, who is the marketing director for the port, gave a glowing report, very optimistic report, on the future of the cruise ships coming here. Beginning with this year, there will be 23 cruise ships bringing in 44,000 passengers. This is a 2% increase in the past. Also, for the first time, there will be a cruise ship docking here in June and two in July. This has come about because this new super ships that carry 5,500 people each have been positioned in the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. Because of their positioning there, it displaces the smaller ships. Those ships are being repositioned to the West Coast, our West Coast, and the Far East. So what we're beginning to see is cruise ships scheduled throughout the year. Up to now, they've only been repositioning to and from Alaska. What we're beginning to see will be cruises just coming up the coast of California, Astoria, and then Washington, ending up Seattle and sometimes on to Vancouver. This means additional ships coming in the future. Bruce is also working by urging additional ships to come, trying to line up Pier 2 so that they can dock. The ships have told him that they do not want to anchor and have to tender in their passengers. It's additional expense with the river pilots and the passengers, because they have to be shuttled, are very unhappy. In conclusion, I believe the port is at the crossroads. If qualified people, candidates, are not elected, like Dirk Roan and Jim Campbell and Frank Spence, I believe that the port could become an albatross around the future economic development for this area. The state, in its direction, by statute, says that all ports are to facilitate and promote economic development for their areas. I don't believe this port recently has done so and has failed in its mission to carry out its responsibilities to the community. And I hope to rectify that with the help. I'm only one vote, but we need three more votes, and I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, my name is Rick Culver, 3506 Harrison, Astoria. I had two items that I wanted to talk about. I went down the city here and I talked to the engineering department about an ADU on my property. Well, he informed me that I'm in a historic district at that area, and there was never a district approved for that area. There was an inventory taken several years ago. And the letter that I received, I had a choice of opting out, and I did. I sent a letter to the city opting out of the historic inventory. I did get a packet from Rosemary Johnson giving descriptions of my house and so forth. So that's my question was, now, on this ADU, do I still have to go in front of the historic review board on this?
Kevin?
Is it a district or not?
you are inside the district. What I have not been able to research yet, because it was a brief conversation on counters, whether you actually submitted the paperwork as suggested. So we have to research whether you did that. So I'll have to go look at for that information.
So we are in a district then?
You are inside the district. Whether your property has been delisted or not is the question that we're trying to still answer.
Okay. Well, that's one thing.
Mr. Culver, this is for when we re-inventory the area up in Upper Town. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
2 or 3 years.
Right.
2013.
Right. Okay.
So it was just an inventory at that time.
Right. Right.
There was never any discussion about a district being formed.
Yeah. So there was the inventory, and then there was actually after the inventory was completed, there was a whole set of properties which were identified as historic.
There were.
And, right.
And so, mine was non-conforming something
and,
there. But.
And so that's and so what I think Mr. Cronin is having to say is that you know, we are looking at, there is a process, as you note, by which whenever there's an inventory being considered by City Council to opt out. And so what we'd be doing is pulling that file from our archives to take a look at what was done back at that time during the historic designation period.
Yeah, okay.
I
just had the conversation today, and I wasn't aware of a district being formed there, but it was an inventory as far as I was concerned, and I think that was different than a district. And my other question was, from previous planning commission meetings and stuff, is tourism residential or is it commercial industry in residential neighborhoods? Pertaining to your policies on comprehensive plans, Upper Town policy is predominantly residential character of the area.
So, and Mr. Culver, so, you're referring to the whole issue of
short-term rental stuff, right, coming up that's being pushed.
Right. So I think that I'm going to suggest that, well, Kevin, do you have Mr. Culver's contact information?
I don't know if you left that with us today.
So what we can do is, my understanding is that there is going to be a City Council work session coming up on the issue of transient lodging or homestay lodging.
I mean the ADU, that refers to long-term.
Right, right.
As is written now.
Correct.
It's going to be written, I guess. But the short-term is still
right
on the books here.
Right. So there are, in some zoning districts, under the current laws of those current zoning laws, homestay lodging, transient lodging within residential zoning districts is either permitted outright in an R2 or R3 zoning district, and with a conditional use permit within an R1 zoning district. I'm anticipating that there's going to be a work session scheduled possibly as soon as next month for additional discussion on this. And so what we can do is, maybe you and I talk afterwards, and we can make sure that when that is set, that we send you notification so you're aware of that, so you can participate. Well,
the housing policy states that neighborhoods should be protected from unnecessary intrusions. So I just wanted to see, are those still in effect?
Those are.
This was from 2002,
right?
Years ago, but
yes, no. There is still similar language in the comprehensive plan, but there is also the issue of the homestay lodging, where if the zoning ordinance was amended, I believe in 2006, to be able to allow these types of uses, either as saying either permitted or conditionally, depending on what zoning district you're in.
But I'll stay involved in this.
But Mr. Culver, afterwards, let's you and I touch base so I make sure I get your contact info.
Thanks. Those are some good questions, sir.
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Any other comments? I did want to recognize the beautiful new hook and ladder truck that we have now. I hope some of you got a chance to see it. It's a beautiful piece of equipment, and I know that Papa Ames over there is very proud of his new. So anyway, we're all delighted that we have this new piece of equipment. It will go up to 105 feet high. So I didn't hear any counselor wanting to climb to the top, but anyway, we hope we never have to.
I didn't know we had that option tonight.
So are you interested?
Yes.
There we go. Got a taker.
Okay. So anyone else have anything to talk about? Otherwise, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming.